Holy and gracious God, it is so good to come into this place to be still, to simply sit in your presence in the company of others, gathered online or here in this space to be together, to hear your word, to sing your praises, to be recentered and regrounded on you. May these words this morning find a home, a place where it is, where they are needed. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. So I'll admit that our gospel lesson this morning is a little strange. It's kind of the bookends to the feeding of the 5,000, but we don't actually read that story. We get the stuff that happens on either end of it. It's like the transition moments of the story, the throwaway parts of the story in between the good stuff. There's a lot of talk in our text today of going from one place to the next. There are some big crowds and some healings mingled in. It's the in-between kind of stuff, the kind of stuff we sometimes skip over to get to the real action. But I will say that there is still one verse in this in-between kind of stuff that really caught my attention. And typically I try to avoid pulling out just one verse and preaching a whole sermon on just one verse. It's this thing called proof texting. But when I read it, it hit me in a way that over the years I've learned to pay attention to. You know, when you read or hear something that connects with something in you, and you're like, oh wait, what is this? I should pay attention to this. Well, the background for this in-between stuff in our text today is that Jesus had sent the disciples out two by two to share the good news of God's coming kingdom, the good news of grace and love and freedom. And our story this morning picks up when they return. They've come back from all of their adventures and are overflowing with the stories they have to tell about all that they had done and seen. You can imagine there's a certain energy about them, at least in my imagination. It's like when you have one of those experiences that leaves you excited and energized. And the way I see it, in the midst of this high, they sort of rapid fire these stories at Jesus. Oh, and then Peter said this, and Thomas did that, and oh, you should have seen what James did. He was on fire. It was amazing. So what's next? Where are we going to go next? What's next, Jesus? Jesus gathers the disciples around him and off in the middle distance sees the crowds once again beginning to gather and come towards them. And he says to the disciples, come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Conventional wisdom, I think, would say that this is exactly the wrong time to go away and rest. Your employees are energized. The customers are there. They're coming in droves. This is the moment that you actually increase your hours, increase your productivity. You say yes to that next project. This is the moment you, in my world, you would maybe think about adding another service on Sunday mornings or expand your reach just a little bit more with something else. It's definitely not the time to go away and rest. But Jesus goes this opposite direction, sort of always going the opposite direction. He invites the disciples to pull back, to ground themselves, to stay connected, to recharge. Where the disciples see energy, Debbie Thomas wrote, Jesus sees overstimulation. Where the disciples see a tightly packed schedule, Jesus sees a poor sense of balance and rhythm. Where the disciples see invincibility, Jesus sees their need. The need to debrief and reflect, the need to eat and pray and play and sleep, the need to learn the art of solitude. Come away to a deserted place, Jesus said, and rest a while. You see, the truth is, and I don't think this is some sort of grand revelation on my part, but the truth is that so often we really aren't all that good about making space for ourselves. Generally, we are pretty conditioned, as one person put it, in a culture that worships the God of up and to the right. Whatever you do, just keep going, expanding more and more and more up and to the right. And what gets left out in this up and to the right kind of culture is ourselves, is being good to ourselves, taking care of ourselves. I mean, it's hard to justify doing that when there's so much to do, we tell ourselves. There's so many people who need something. There's so much injustice. I'll make time for myself later. On top of that, as if it wasn't enough for us to navigate just that, on top of that, we continue to make our way through this pandemic with all of the upheaval and mess and grief and anger and anxiety that we've navigated this past year, this past 15 months. And really, who knows how we're supposed to really feel about it all? The truth is, there's no right way to respond or to be or to feel. It all kind of just is. And while everyone is different, organizational psychologist Adam Grant suggests that what many of us might be experiencing in this season, as we continue through this pandemic, isn't necessarily depression. And on the other end of the mental health continuum, it isn't also flourishing. It's something different, somewhere in between the two. He calls it languishing. And sometimes it's good to have language to put to our experience of things. Languishing. He thinks that languishing is the neglected middle child of mental health. It's that place between. It's the absence of well-being. In his words, you maybe don't have symptoms of mental illness, but you're not the picture of mental health either. You're not functioning at full capacity. Languishing dulls your motivation, disrupts your ability to focus, and it can drain your energy. Maybe that resonates with your experience. Maybe you see yourself in that description of languishing. And maybe you don't. Like I said, there is no right way to be or to feel. Maybe you're flourishing, even thriving in this season. That's the experience of some people. The truth is, I think it all kind of makes sense depending on who we are and our circumstances. But no matter where we are at, the universal experience in all of it, I think, so often what gets forgotten is taking care of ourselves. And we are desperately in need of a shift, because there is a general truth in our culture that up and to the right is the only way to be. And in that kind of culture, there's a truth that we frequently gloss over. If we aren't doing well ourselves, it's really hard to care well for others. So the disciples, they come back and they tell Jesus their stories. And Jesus sees something that perhaps they can't. He sees that in this moment, they are actually, in the midst of their energy and excitement, they're actually in need, perhaps in ways the disciples couldn't be. He sees the bigger picture, the larger vision, the longer road. And as he listens to their story, he recognizes their need because he's listening for something deeper in them. He knows that if they don't recenter themselves after all that they had done and seen, if they don't reground themselves and reconnect to what Jewish scholar Abraham Heschel calls, and I love this, the seed of eternity planted in their souls. If they don't recenter and reconnect to the seed of eternity planted in their souls, they will eventually burn out and lose their way, become discouraged, or simply give up altogether. They will eventually find that they are unable to care well for others. Because if we don't care for ourselves, if we aren't grounded and centered, it is really hard to care well. Come away to a deserted place, all by yourselves, and rest for a while. And I think what Jesus is inviting us to in these words is more than taking an afternoon off or going on a vacation, although I do think that those are important parts of resting. Perhaps they are the beginning of truly resting, but it seems there is an intentionality to the rest that Jesus is inviting the disciples to. It's interesting because we're told right after this verse that I've pulled out of the story, we are told that in these in-between parts of the story, we're told that at least in part, the motivation to come away and rest to a deserted place is because there were so many people coming and going that they had no leisure to eat. They had no space to even eat. But what's interesting is that just after this, and what we often think of as the real part of the story, in the feeding of the 5,000, that part that gets left out today, just after this, the disciples tell Jesus, the crowds have gathered around them once again, and the disciples tell Jesus that there's no food in this deserted place. And so he needs to send the crowd to the surrounding villages to find food to eat. And so it begs the question, if finding the space to actually eat is a part of resting, why go away to a deserted place where there is apparently no food to eat? Unless, of course, to come away and rest, to come to that deserted place means something more than simply physical nourishment. Perhaps going away to a deserted place and resting is ultimately about returning to the source of life. Ultimately about being fed by God, nurtured and sustained by God. It's there in the deserted place where you can once again encounter the divine presence that is already within you. To be sure, to come away and rest is an afternoon off. Don't hear me not saying that. Perhaps it's a nap, Dave. Even a vacation. And, not but, and it is also intentional space where we can be nourished by the healing Spirit of God. Jesus says to the disciples, hey, you're doing a lot. You've done a lot. You're going to continue to do a lot to make ends meet, to make this work. And if you don't make space to care for yourself, to be still, to recenter and be regrounded. You're not going to be able to do this for very long. So come away and rest a while. The more I thought about it, the more I loved that this invitation from Jesus to the disciples to rest comes in those in-between verses, the parts of the story that we sometimes just kind of gloss over or skip over to get to the real action, those parts of the story that feel like they're really just there to keep the story moving along, to keep the story going until we get to that important stuff. Because how true is that? How often do we skip over or rush through caring for ourselves? How often do we skip over resting so we can get to the real action? The real stuff, the important stuff. It's such a good reminder of how important those in-between spaces are. Because in so many ways, it's these in-between spaces where we are recentered and grounded, where we rest in the Holy One that sustains us so we can actually move to the next part of the story in somewhat healthy and whole spaces. Turns out those in-between places aren't just throwaway verses, but they're essential parts of the larger story. Wherever you find yourself this morning, maybe you're energized, ready for what's next. Maybe you're exhausted, finding motivation hard to come by after 15 months. Wherever you find yourself this morning, may you hear these words as invitation. Not as one more thing to add to an already full schedule, laundry and dishes and groceries and work, but as gift, maybe even permission, that it's okay. It's even good to set aside the shoulds and the have-tos, even if just for a moment, and make space to rest for a while, to care for yourself, find new rhythms just for a little bit. Because here's the thing, and I think this is what Jesus understood, this is why the incarnation matters. He understood the realities of what it means to be human. But it's in grounding ourselves, centering ourselves, making space to be still, that we learn to stop standing at a distance from our own lives and instead listen. Listen to that divine spark that is already in you. The in-between spaces. Come away to a deserted place all by yourselves and rest a while. Thanks be to God. Amen.